This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Hello, hello. Great to be with you. Thanks for tuning in.
And boy, it's nice to have that terrible weather behind us.
Yeah, let's hope, right?
And speaking of good weather, we all should be praying for good weather on May 25th. That's the 10th annual Catholic Radio Golf Outing, May 25th. So mark your calendar. That's a Tuesday. It's going to be a great day. We've got a lot of fun contests and a lot of things going. We have a great lunch and dinner and golf and prizes, all for one price. So you can go to our website, CatholicRadioIndy.org. You can find out more about it there. You can register right there if you want. You can even put it on a credit card and pay for it so you don't even have to think about it again. All at CatholicRadioIndy.org.
Well, we're talking about my favorite topic today. If anyone that
pizza?
Knows...
Pizza?
Okay, my second favorite topic. evangelization is my favorite topic. Anyone that knows me knows I'm like gaga about doing that. And I guess we all should be as baptized Catholics, but you know, maybe we're not, you know, and sometimes that can be, you know, maybe we're not exactly sure how to do it or what that exactly means. I mean, it's not really a clear cut topic, I guess, for some people. Well, today we are going to be talking about evangelization and reaching out to others beyond the pew, which is really what we really need to be doing. Our guest today is Greg Fleckenstein. He is the Director of Evangelization at St. Elizabeth Seton. So welcome to Faith in Action, Greg.
Thank you, Jim and Bridget. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, when I reached out to Greg, he was totally game for anything, anything for what we were talking about in evangelization. It was like wide open. I'm like, this is going to be a blast. I love those kind of guests. So,
yeah, he's going to be surprised when the list of questions that you sent him have nothing to do with the questions you're going to ask him.
Yeah, yeah. Shh. We're not going to say that. We won't tell him. Well, okay. Before we get started, give our listeners a little bit about your background, maybe where you're from. Did you grow up here in the Indianapolis area? Or are you a transplant?
I am a transplant. So I grew up in Springfield, Illinois, capital city there in central Illinois, and made my way over here to attend Marion University, the Catholic University in Indianapolis. Studied philosophy, theology there. I did a couple of years out in the corporate world before I made my way by providence to St. Elizabeth Seton here in Carmel. I was their middle school youth minister for about 5 years and recently moved into the director of evangelization role here at Seton. So we recently got a new pastor, Father Brian Doerr, and our staff is very excited and gung-ho to get moving on this mission of evangelization in our world and
now,
in our parish.
Is that a new position at the parish, or is that one that's been there for a while?
It's a kind of a transitioning position. So we used to have a director of evangelization, Peter Doan, who moved on to greener pastures with Catholic Radio.
Right.
And then this role is a little bit more supervisory than it has been in the past. It's very much womb to tomb, looking at how we reach out to every single segment of our congregation and really our area, how we can bring people to Christ.
And it seems like we are kind of in a time in our church where we're looking a little bit more of a paradigm shift in how we reach out. And can you talk a little bit about that? That wasn't my questions, but I know you know the answer to that, just having been at parish ministry. Is that a fair statement, and how would you kind of describe maybe a different ways of reaching out than maybe how we have in the past?
Absolutely. I would definitely agree that we're kind of at a paradigm shift, really, I mean, within our parishes and within our world. I mean, COVID-19 threw us a big curveball in that a lot of our congregation, you know, for a period of time was not here, and some have not returned. So the question is always being, how can we be a united parish, and how can we bring more people into our parish family? So we've done a lot of reaching out as far as putting a direct emphasis on participation at Mass. That, of course, you know, if we're vulnerable, or if we're, you know, if there's any kind of detriment to ourselves, you know, coming to Mass at this time is not for you. That is quite all right. But there is something to be said for, you know, receiving the Eucharist, being present there before Christ, body, soul, and divinity, that we are trying to put a very direct emphasis on at this time. And as far as reaching out to the broader community, I mean, a lot of what we're doing is just trying to live out the gospel in action, word, thought, everything. Not making it something where we're standing on a street corner with a sign in our hand, but just allowing ourselves to be vessels at this moment for whatever Christ's will is going into 2021.
We're talking with Greg Fleckenstein. He is the Director of Evangelization at St. Elizabeth Seton. And I want to ask you to maybe describe in your own words what evangelization is, maybe how you would define it. Because, I mean, that really can be a scary word. And it's a foreign word to some people that, you know, maybe haven't kind of grown up with that word as a thing. You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. So evangelization is kind of encompassed in the Great Commission within Matthew's Gospel. Go make disciples of all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But I like to kind of to move a little bit further than that. I like to make evangelization bringing the good news into very human situations, very tangible, real situations. You know, if there's somebody you see suffering and, you know, having an issue within the grocery store, you know what I mean? Or, you know, a family member who's suffering or somebody who's having an amazing day, just transforming that into a moment where, you know, I've suffered before. I've had these joyful moments before, and here's why. You know, it all comes down to Christ and how he is living out in my life. Witness is, I think, the key to evangelization. Willingness to share how Christ has worked in your life. Is the key in everything that, you know, I do and that I think that we are called to as Catholics.
Now, I'm curious, sometimes when I reflect on Catholics in general and their efforts to reach out, in some ways I think that maybe they're not really good at evangelization, but in other times I think about that Catholics really are great at reaching out, but maybe they've never really thought of it as evangelization. You know what I'm saying? Can you talk a little bit about that, like what I'm kind of talking about? I know you can read my mind, I know, but we can see each other. You know what I'm saying? I mean, how would you define what we're doing well and maybe what we can be doing better? Because I think there's some really great things happening in families, in reaching out, but we don't necessarily define it as evangelization, but we are doing it. So talk about that.
Sure. So I think we have a great foundation within the Gospels and within Acts of the Apostles, within the letters in the New Testament, that we can, you know, see how our church initially spread. We have great examples there. So I think we're on board as far as that goes. Also, we have the sacraments, right? That we have these very tangible moments in Christ's life that we are living out here and now. I think that we have a lot going for us as far as that goes, but we live in a secular society where it is extremely difficult to sometimes even, you know, pray, do the sign of the cross, even mention the word God. So there we have our difficulties there, just as I think every, you know, Christian does, that we sometimes feel inhibited or, you know, sometimes scared to be genuinely sharing what our Catholic faith is all about and how it's affecting us. So I think it comes down to authenticity at the end of the day. If we are professing to be Catholics, then we, through authenticity, should be willing to, you know, not be afraid, as Christ always says within the Gospels.
Now, we're talking about evangelism, and is there a particular age where people should start evangelizing? I'm sure when a teenager is listening, they say, yeah, maybe mom and dad, or probably more like grandma and grandpa might do that, but not me. Is there a particular age where a person can start evangelizing?
Yeah, I think that we are called to, you know, evangelization from birth at the end of the day. I mean, obviously, my 2-year-old daughter isn't at the best at evangelization, but I can see, I can see Christ's love through her and through her actions. As they grow, you know, towards the age of, I think, about middle school, I see a lot of good things happening with our middle schoolers here at St. Elizabeth Seton. We do a lot with small groups, so they're building relationships with one another and, I think, inspiring Christ's love in one another through, you know, a support system. A lot of, you know, a lot of adults, even in our world today, don't have the best support system. And these small groups that they are a part of and that they continue being a part of through adulthood really give them opportunities to support one another, learn how to support one another, and then take that out to others within their different circles, take the faith out to their different circles.
When I see family members or families that are kind of living out their faith, it's almost like they don't even need to say a word because it's so evident in their lifestyle. It's so evident in how they, you know, receive the Eucharist or how they talk to people and listen to people and just are so genuine. I mean, I don't know if you've met any of the Focus missionaries, but I mean, they come to mind immediately in term, and I know they've been through training, but they've had some kind of a personal conversion. And as we get closer to God, we just become more like him. And then people see that, you know? So, I mean, there's all these formulas that we can use, but in a way it's just really simple, you know?
I would agree. It is very simple. I mean, it's as simple as, you know, if you're, you know, in a restaurant praying, you know, your meal prayer, the sign of the cross, you know, even if it's silently, just that sign of the cross is just, you know, a silent reminder to those around you. You know, saying God bless you at the end of a phone call, you know, in addition to goodbye. I have a friend of mine who wears a, you know, we all wear masks, but I have a friend who wears a mask that is the Sacred Heart that he wears everywhere he goes. Just a silent way of, you know, planting that seed that Christ is real, Christ cares, and that we are a part of that greater body of Christ. I completely agree with you. It does not need to be words. It does not even need to be actions. It can be just something that Christ is permeating you and allowing you to be a vessel for him out into the world.
Now, what are some of the stumbling blocks that keep people from doing that? They say, oh, I couldn't do that because... What are some of the things that people are hesitant to do, some of the things you've just mentioned?
Well, we're kind of in a culture today where if you, you know, offend somebody or say something that is, you know, slightly... you know, against someone else's beliefs, that they just completely shove you aside. So we hide behind masks. We hide behind screens. We hide. We just hide. And I think that that is the biggest stumbling block, in my opinion, is getting beyond this fear of just being really you, authentically you, the person that God made you to be, and loving one another with that same intensity.
We need to take a break, but I've got a lot of things I want to get to in the second half. I want to talk about how we can specifically reach out to millennials or different age groups and if it's different. So stay tuned for more Faith in Action.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. Jim Ganley and I are in the studio. We're talking about evangelization. We're talking with Greg Fleckenstein, who is the Director of Evangelization at St. Elizabeth Seton. And we're talking about reaching out beyond the pew. And we did touch on a few tips. Did you have anything else that you wanted to add, Greg, in terms of reaching out beyond the pew there?
Absolutely. I think it's very key that we find moments to serve others daily. So, you know, that might be in very small ways, but that, you know, could be in grandiose ways. If we find a way to serve our outside community in, you know, whether that's buying someone's lunch as you're going through the drive-thru, small nameless ways, or if you're, you know, going down to the Women's Care Center at Georgetown Road and praying a rosary very publicly, and I would say in a more grandiose way, serving other daily is, I think, the best way that we allow others to see our Catholic faith in action.
Now, before we get too far into the show, I do want to mention that St. Elizabeth Seton, you have a big speaker coming March 27th Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, the dynamic deacon. Tell us what he's going to talk about, and is it like a in-person or is it a virtual? Tell us what the format's going to be.
Yes, so it'll be an in-person event that morning on Saturday, March 27th. If you have a little breakfast and then come over to St. Elizabeth Seton, we will have daily mass at 8:30 a.m. Deacon will be the main homilist at that mass. And then at 9:30 a.m., he will be giving a talk entitled Living a Eucharistic Faith, The Big Deal About Mass and Why It Matters. So that'll be kind of connecting why we do this thing called Mass, the biblical sources of why we come to Mass, explain how we can live more Eucharistically in our daily life. We'll have about a 15-minute break following his talk there at 9:30, and at 10:45 a.m., he will be giving a talk called Come Let Us Adore Him, The Purpose and the Meaning of Eucharistic Adoration. So talking about why we adore the Eucharist, finding those small moments of stillness and silence, and how we can hear God's voice while participating in adoration. So the goal of this is to put a very distinct emphasis on the Eucharist in the Mass, why it is so important, and why in this time and place of craziness within our world, why we need it so very much.
And if somebody's looking for a little way to pick up their spirits and kind of kickstart their faith a little bit, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers is a great speaker, a very dynamic and very entertaining speaker, but very thoughtful too. I just know from hearing him in the past that whoever comes will go away feeling all fired up and have a good message that they really can put into practice in their everyday life.
Do people need to, because this is an in-person event, do people need to register? And I know you're going to also be, are you streaming it as well? So talk about that. How can people participate? And is there a certain number or limited number? So talk about that real quick.
Absolutely. So our main church, the Nave, will be the location of these talks and Mass, daily Mass that morning. It has about a 300-person capacity within that space, but we have a social hall that holds about that much as well.
That's true.
300. Where it'll be streamed. It also will be live streamed on our website, seatoncarmel.org, and our parish Facebook page.
Awesome. So, wow, that's a lot of opportunity to get involved. So do you show up or do you register? That's the question.
You are welcome to just show up, and we will make sure we have a place for you within this great day that we will be having.
That's awesome. Now, I want to get to, you mentioned a little bit about individual prayer, kind of as you were talking about the Eucharist, you know, just with Eucharistic adoration, and you mentioned that what Deacon Harold's going to talk about. What role does that have in terms of our evangelization?
Sure. I think that we are called in our personal prayer life with Christ to do really two things. Number one, to discern daily. In other words, we are not called once we are, you know, in our vocation to just stay stagnant. We are called to every single day discern where Christ wants us to go, the decisions we should be making that are critical to our life in Christ, to be always and everywhere wondering, how can I grow in holiness and how can I help others grow in holiness that are in my circle around me? And I think number two, when it comes to your personal prayer life, is repentance. We all fall, and we are continually called to change our hearts. So that we are more in tune to exactly where Christ is calling us to be as individuals, to be living lives of true virtue and to seek out others around us that can inspire that virtue as well.
Is there a particular age group that you're looking to attract to the live talk and the streaming there, adults, teenagers, anybody in particular?
So for Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, we are really looking for it to be across the board, anyone who is interested. He will have a particular emphasis on our young adults and a little bit on our youth, but it is really open. I mean, it's very tangible and very open to anyone who is interested in learning a little bit more about why we are a Eucharistic people.
I want to ask you about the importance of family prayer and the domestic church in all this as it relates to evangelization, if you happen to be in the married vocation.
Absolutely. So there's a country song that has a line that says that his young son talks to God like he was talking to a friend. And I kind of, that inspires how I pray with my children and my wife and us together as a family unit. I think that the domestic church is really the center of who we are within our Catholic faith. If we are not praying within our families, we are missing, I think, such a important community that Christ wants us to be a part of and that he wants to be a part of. So I think that when it comes to family prayer, it's very important to start young, number one, to start these habits when at a very young age. My two-year-old daughter doesn't know, these prayers like the Our Father, Hail Mary by heart, but she participates in her own way. She sits with us. She prays right alongside us. And my five-year-old, on a different, story, is very attuned to these memorized prayers, but also is ever so willing to talk to God genuinely, thank him for what he's done for her in that particular day, talk about where she fell, things along those lines. And especially as a husband and wife, my wife Hannah and I, who met at Marion University when I was down there, we find it so comforting, so tuning for us to be able to pray as a married couple and to discern not just individually where God is calling us, but where we as a married couple can be more in tune to the Trinitarian union we're a part of in this married life.
If someone listening was maybe not praying as a family, and maybe they have, I don't know what their children's ages are, but how do they start that if they've never done that? What do you have a couple beginner tips? Because, we hear this all the time, but I also have many friends that say, we don't really do that, So how could they get started if they've never done it?
Absolutely. I think two very key places to begin praying as a family is one, before a meal. Saying grace before a meal, I think, is a very important starting place. And then number two, before going to bed at night. I make it a point, even at 28 years old, to, examine my conscience before I go to bed and consider where I've gone wrong and consider with, my young children, like I mentioned, what we are thankful for this day, what we can do better in the day to come, and then talk about our love of God and how great and amazing this gift of life is. So I would say start with prayer before meal, start with prayer before bed, and then from there, look at, devotions such as the rosary. Look at opportunities such as Eucharistic adoration within your parishes where you don't have to have a plan. You can just walk in and consider where Christ is calling you, talking to you through that Eucharistic species there before you. That's where I would start. That's where I would go, yes.
Great advice. When we earlier in the show, we were talking a little bit about the paradigm shift. We've got a couple minutes left just to, as a time reference. But I'm curious, as you talk about the domestic church and just kind of all the things that are going on in our culture where we can't really be maybe we're not as supported just in the secular culture with just our faith, than that used to be different in the 50s. But it seems now that what's the role of the domestic church? It seems like it's more important, and then the parish might seem to have a different role too. What would those roles be if you've, kind of with this paradigm shift? I know it's kind of a interesting question, but
no doubt.
In 3 minutes.
that's all good. I think that the domestic church's role at this moment is to inspire the faith in your children, right? To be a building block for your children, so that when they grow into young adults, they're off on their own, they are capable of realizing that they are cared for by their loving God, and that they are not alone. At the end of the day, I think there's a lot of loneliness in our world today, and I think if there was a true understanding of why we're here, that we are here for love of God, that we might be better off with those feelings of loneliness. I would also say the role of the individual within our world today, our Catholic world today, is to be a building block. We are a family within our church. We are not just individuals just kind of making our way through this, that we are a family at the end of the day. And that family is meant to love God first and then to show the love of God to others second, so that they may join our family as well.
And it seems to me like parishes are such a great place to find that Christian community, not just going to Mass. Obviously, Mass is the source and summit, but to find those other plug-ins where you can have Christian community to really support you on the journey.
Absolutely. Here at St. Elizabeth Seton, for example, we have a small groups ministry that plugs you in. If you have a dog, if you're a single male, if you are a married couple with young children, there is a group for you so that you can feel supported in your faith, feel supported in your life, and then be willing to accompany others as the years go on in similar circumstances.
So we got a couple minutes left. Tell us about, are you excited about your new role?
I am. It's a daunting role in this world, I think, to be tasked with, you know, baptizing the whole world. It's a daunting role for all of us, though. I feel encouraged by the both lay leaders and staff around me and priests around me that are ever so willing to try new things, not say no, but say yes to finding great ways to bring Christ to the world. It's an exciting time. It's almost a new moment for our church, where we, you know, for a little bit, were so away from the sacraments physically, so away from the sacraments, and now they're open to us. And how do we bring everyone to these sacraments, to this great gift of love that Christ has for us?
If you would give us the date and time for the Deacon Harold Burke Sivers talk again.
Saturday, March 27th, there will be 8:30 a.m. daily Mass. There will be a talk at 9:30 a.m. on living a Eucharistic faith. And then at 10:45 a.m., a talk called Come Let Us Adore Him.
It's going to be a great event. Looking forward to it. Greg Fleckenstein, Director of Evangelization at St. Elizabeth Seton and Carmel, thanks so much for being our guest today.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again, or any past episode, at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.